When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yo, you got that sexy beast. You're just so sexy. Are you a Loch Ness monster?
I'm not drinking.
Or are you Bigfoot, cryptid, supernatural vampires, Sanchez, Tony, and Jago? Oops, there's a Wendigo. Hey, come on after me. Who does that fuck said you could laugh at me, smack with me? With a Bigfoot dick, you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a Bigfoot dick and Loch Ness monster, pussy. Baby, sexy beast.
Happy Halloween!
Happy. No, we're not editing this, Jake.
Okay,
we're not
editing.
Happy Halloween and welcome to Sexy Beast, your foray into the menagerie of the unexplained, where we normally look at crazy cryptids, monsters, and things and ethereal beings, and we rate and review them in our premier crypt. We're not doing that for the month of October. We are celebrating Silver Screams, where we're looking at all of the movie monsters and putting them in our tournament of. What do we call them?
Theater Screams.
It's almost like after more than 70 episodes, you've forgotten.
This is a brand new concept. And we're here for the semis. Almost a full erect Johnson.
Yeah. We're almost turgid.
Ew.
Yeah, that's the word I don't.
Turgid.
Yeah.
Is that for half erect?
No, it's just like
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just making faces.
Would you ever get into the Viagra game? I don't need it personally.
I went away on a stag, and there was and someone came up to me and was like, "Oh, like really secretively," and I was like, "Oh, do you want a Viagra?" But it was all a big group of lads, which, like, yeah, fair enough. Does like all the lads can ride or whatever? But like that wasn't the vibe. That wasn't the vibe that was going on. It just was so odd. It's like, yeah, do you want to take a Viagra?
Yeah.
During a stag, and I was just like, no, I really don't.
Does it make sex feel nicer?
I don't know.
I don't think it does. I think it just enables you to have an erection.
This may be an urban legend, right? So,
please.
Perfect place to send it. But apparently, there was some owl lad, and he took loads of Viagra to have sex with, like, a woman.
Oh my God.
Or a man, don't discriminate. And he had a heart attack. And he'd taken so much Viagra that his dick acted as a secondary heart.
Shut the fuck up.
I read this on the internet. So
his dick pumped blood
around his body, and he survived until the medics came. No, that's because
so they just squeeze it back into his body.
No, because Pfizer, who make Viagra,
yes,
the originally started
other Viagras are available.
Other Viagras are available, but it was originally started off as a medicine for heart, and they said there was. Unattended side effects, and they said that it wasn't as effective as a heart medicine as it was a dick throbber.
That's fascinating.
Someone, if you're that guy who
please do get in touch.
Please get in touch with us.
I could see that though. So do you ever have like a little heartbeat in your balls?
Yeah.
It's okay if you don't.
I don't know. A heartbeat in my balls.
You know, you get a little.
We're alienating 50% of our, 30% of our audience. We're talking about throbbing balls.
I'd say it's about 15% at this stage, especially when you start getting to the. No, let's not discriminate. Mark Jago, how has your Halloween Scream Queen time been? You've been moving house, I believe.
Yeah, so bought a new
renovating
house. Homeowner.
Homeowner.
Yeah, so we bought it. If you're gonna buy a house, just fucking. Double check everything. Like, it's grand, it's structurally fine and everything, but the person who owned it before us was an old woman, and like her way of renovating, as I was saying earlier, was just put a wallpaper down. If she didn't like the wallpaper, paint it. And if she didn't like that, put another wallpaper down.
Jesus.
So I'm generally, I'm not bragging, but I'm pretty good at stripping wallpaper. But I was trying to do it the old-fashioned way, you know, make a little score, spray a little water,
Yeah.
And I swear to God, it was about fucking quarter of an inch thick wallpaper.
Wow, I can see the width of between your thumb and your index finger.
Yeah, so you got your one, and it was like a cream, and it was a mint color, and then it was a blue, and then you finally got the concrete wall. And I was like, fuck, it took me about an hour to do, I'd say about half a foot of a wall. I was like, fuck this. So I went down to the local shop and I rented this fucking industrial stripper.
Nice.
He wasn't.
What's her name?
Yeah, I was gonna go there as well.
But
yeah,
but, it as well.
But it's this fucking big stupid thing that pumps steam into the wall.
Wow.
And you, like, talking about it's like an extension of your dick.
Why do you feel like?
Yeah, it's kind of powerful because it's like solid structure in front of you that's really hard to, and it just melts at your command.
Wow.
Bit.
Like a penis.
Yeah, like everything melts at my penis.
Is it good at taking the wallpaper down?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I'm, like, it's fucking so therapeutic. Mm. And I think I found my calling. I think I might quit my job and become a painter decorator. I loved it. I get up at 8 and I spend to about 7 there just stripping wallpaper.
Mm.
I've done 3 rooms so far. It's another 18 to go, I think.
Now, when you look at the house and the work that needs to be done, are you looking at that and thinking, what would I do here? What has to be done here? Or are you following some plan for what renovation is?
I am not a very meticulous planner. That's where my partner Mary comes in, and she's planned everything ahead,
mm-hmm.
and she tells me what to do, and I'm just like, yes, boss.
Yeah, great.
It's kind of hot. And then and then she just comes up and feeds me biscuits when I'm being good.
Well, I hope you're not getting them so steamy you have a load of soggy biscuits.
No, I use another hand. That's
very clever.
But yeah, if you're getting a house, just make sure like you have enough money for fucking renovations and shit as well.
I mean, I feel like it's such a seller's market that you can have all these issues with the house and then you could say it to the person and they'd be like, fuck you then.
It's
you
literally...
Well, you got to buy it anyway. So
like,
they
were trying to take the washing machine and dishwasher and stuff. But apparently, if it's plugged in, it's by law, they have to... Or, like, if it's built in, they have to, by law, leave it.
Oh, right.
And then it became a big ordeal. Like, oh, yeah, you're leaving it. And they're like, but we want to take it and stuff.
Is this the family of the woman who owned it?
It's so weird.
So they're only getting... I mean, because of inheritance tax, they're only getting 30% or something like that. Or they have to give back 30% of the washing machine.
Really?
With inheritance tax, they'd have to pay back tax at like 30% on everything that they've...
Including the whole...
Yeah, I mean, if the washing machine, they're probably just trying to fucking pull a fast one.
Yeah, or maybe give it to someone else because I think it was a brand new washing machine or whatever.
Delish.
It's just a weird thing. Like, we were told to go look at the house the day before we got the keys because loads of people will fuck everything in the attic and then just be like, oh, the house is grand. And then you open the attic and there's so much shit in there. Yeah, we got lots of hangers, so it was gone. But yeah, so we're talking about dicks and steamers, but we're talking about movie monsters.
Movie monsters, and we're at the semis.
Yeah,
we're half turgid. We're half at full.
Are you a dick half flaccid kind of guy?
No, I think I'm kind of permanently half turgid.
Yeah.
Not permanently, but I feel like, you know, I'm happy when it gets over to half. You know, I'm not looking to hang towels on it anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, oh, there you go.
Time's like, oh, great.
This guy, all right. Sorry, it's another tangent again, but somehow I ended up on a bodybuilding forum just when I was trying to, be fit. I'm not trying to be fit now. Well, I'm a legend.
No, that's fine.
But the amount of like subjects that come up about, like, I accidentally came when I was lifting weights.
Really?
Yeah. Like, apparently, like, they just strain their body so hard that their body, like, accidentally ejaculates.
Oh, I don't believe that. I can't. Well, I suppose if I had a better sphincter or whatever it is, prostate muscle.
Yeah.
Is it prostate
like
muscle?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really au fait on the whole ejaculation thing.
Although my mate Dara, growing up, said that he once... This is a very smutty podcast. This is a very smutty one.
Yeah, it's gone. It's really...
But I'll tell you, he put his finger up his arse and with a flaccid penis made himself come. made himself come by tickling a part of the inside of his arse, and he came with a flaccid penis.
What's the second name? Apparently that's the thing. I was reading a story about some lad who was getting a prostate exam.
I love while you're browsing.
It's Reddit. Like, I'm literally just anything. Anytime I'm not concentrating on something,
is this Reddit? Reddit r/com?
Oh no, no. It was I think it was just news. So basically, there's this guy, and he is getting a prostate exam. Which, for people, the uninformed prostate exam, a prostate is a gland that is located in the base of a man's penis that regulates piss flow. I don't know. I'm literally some person who knows biology's paternity here. But anyway, so the prostate exam is the doctor puts his fingers up your ass and checks if there are any lumps for cancer, which is very important. And the guy ejaculated, and he took a gun out and shot the doctor in the head.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because he was like, he felt like he'd been like violated.
Oh my god, I so was not predicting you were going to say that.
What?
I was so not predicting.
No. Like, but it's so sound.
Oh my god.
Tony's actually crying now.
That's insane, because he was like, the dad from American Beauty.
Oh yeah,
thinking he was gay.
Yeah, no, it was a thing. Like, apparently his.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at the poor guy.
Yeah, the poor doctor. But like, the guy was like, apparently he's affected his manliness or something. He's really one of those alpha macho lads or whatever. But.
Jesus.
Movie monsters.
Movie monsters. Anyway, okay. So Jago, would you like to hear where we currently am?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 second. Talk amongst yourselves for a second. I am not Jago. I'm not editing this.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So hang on, here we go.
What was your favorite treat you used to get when you went trick or treating?
Full Mars.
Full Mars.
Full Mars bars.
All right, fucking Richie Rich over there.
Sometimes you get a full Mars bar. You just hit up, and there was a whole thing where, like, you know, some gaffs would just give out full Mars, full Twix, but like they might only have 20. Just you had to be in the first three gaffs, you know, going around.
Yeah, you got the full one, so you knew about them. I used to love fucking crunchies.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah. Crunchy, if you get crunchy, you're fucking onto a winner. Go back. Do you ever get pennies? How did you just get pennies out in our area when I was growing up?
I hate them.
No, do you know what? Actual pennies.
Oh, pennies.
Like
cash.
Like cash.
Ah, that's shite.
Like 6 or 7, but like 6 or 7 pennies could buy you like 24 Federos back in the day.
Fredros.
Rather Fredro.
What were those horrible ones, the saucers that had like, they were like chocolate buttons, but they had all those fucking horrible licorice-y fucking sprinkles on them.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Shit.
I once ate so much Black Jacks that I turned my shit black, and I was terrified. I had to tell my mom.
Was it like Marconium?
I'm not getting into that again. Sorry, private conversation leaked.
Previous conversation. Yeah, like I can't envision my wife allowing that much sweets go into my boy.
I think it's just like, I'm not saying my parents are pretty clever and stuff like that, but I just think it was the easy way out. You know, like if I got a bit hyper, like here's a bit of sweets to calm me down or something. But like it was like it does the opposite.
Self-perpetuating.
Yeah, it's self-perpetuating. Like I think today's kids would be like, oh, he's a bit hyper. Oh, we'll give him a laptop iPad to play on. Something like that.
I don't know. Maybe sweets are different. Like back then, I don't know if you get as many, if there's more stuff like atomic fucking Dodies or whatever like that, or like whatever, it's nuclear fucking Dib Dabs.
There used to be like a little tuck shop, and every time we went to Mass when I was a kid, my mom would give me like a pound or whatever. Oh, God, and show me age. And then they would be like, I'd go down and get the fucking like, super sour apple drops and a big like brown bag of them, and I'd eat them all in one day, and then I'd complain to my mom, I have a sore stomach. She'd go, oh, what'd you have a sore stomach? That's mad. What'd you eat? Lasagna?
It's my lasagna.
I'm so sorry, Mark. I am so
give
sorry.
Give me some sweet. Give me some fucking apple drops. You forget all about it. Jago, we're here in the semis, and first off, we have Blade.
Versus
Blade.
Well, he's a vampire.
He's a vampire. Blade versus King Kong.
Oh, King Kong.
I'm doing impressions.
Yeah, very good. Blade versus King Kong.
So King Kong beat the Blair Witch in the last episode, and Dracula beat the Graboids from Tremors.
Yeah.
So here we are. I have a bit of trivia for both if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, well, get this, yeah. So interesting overlap. King Kong and Dracula, they're both old films, but both films were almost lost forever.
Oh, yeah.
So a King Kong, as we see it now, King Kong, there was a time when the original print was thought to be lost for good, right? Because apparently films predating 1980s, they didn't really have much value once they left theatres. In fact, a lot of classic films were used to get silver nitrate. They were kind of like, melted down to extract silver nitrate because they thought it's not out in the cinema. This was like a stage show. It's not there anymore. It's just left there.
You can't bring a real home and play on your.
It wasn't seen like as, you know, archivable, you know, or worth, and it just wasn't stored very well. So King Kong, there wasn't a decent print to be found in the US. So the movie, when they were actually re-releasing it just recently, they had to reconstruct from various pieces of film, like bits of reels left over from England, Belgium, and France. And then they were duplicated and digitally enhanced frame by frame. And that's the version that we have today. But it was apparently took 2 years to do all that.
Yeah, and then there was like Ewoks in the background.
And then instead of holding up a gun at King Kong, they're holding up a massive walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
And similarly, Dracula, even though the book wasn't a big hit, you know, and we're in Bram Stoker Festival time right now. Speaking of which, go on to Bram Stoker Festival. You can get a spooky story read by me. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's about the supernatural world.
I love the Bram Stoker Festival. Like, I last year they were running an Instagram, and it was like a story, a scary story told to Instagram posts. And there was like three accounts that were linked to each other, and you'd see one side of the story, and you have to go on. It was really clever.
Mm.
I haven't seen it, obviously, because COVID stuff. I haven't seen a lot of it going on today.
Yeah, it was meant to be a walking tour. I had a guided walking tour, scary story that was meant to bring you around Temple Bar, but unfortunately, now you just have to listen to it at home. But anyway, so Bram Stoker held onto the theatrical copyright of Dracula, and after his death in 1922. The German company that we know now made Nosferatu, and they changed the name of all the characters, but it still didn't get, they hadn't got permission to use the story, but they thought that because they changed the names, it would be fine. But Stoker's widow sued them and ordered that every copy of the film be destroyed.
Oh, fuck's sake.
And luckily, just one survived, and that's the one that's was made its way to the States and developed a cult following. So Nosferatu and King Kong both thought at one point to be completely lost forever.
That's great. Like, I don't know. I don't know where the widow was coming from. Like, maybe.
Hey,
she
fuck
was,
that bitch.
Nah, no, you can't say that.
Fuck Stoker's widow.
Oh man, you can't say that.
I said it. You know, he couldn't walk until he was 8, and then he became a track and field superstar.
So he couldn't walk until he was 8.
Couldn't walk until he was 8.
Who are you like? What? So what, like, he was just crawling.
I don't know. He could have had polio or something like that. I don't know if he did.
Oh, so I kind he of was feel disabled like, until he was
no,
8.
No, I don't think that. I think when I went to the Bram Stoker, remember Bram Stoker Festival was part of Westwood?
Yeah.
And like you might go into the Bram Stoker Museum before going into Barcode.
Barcode, yeah.
Yeah. You'd get dressed up, so you'd be like walking around the Bram Stoker Museum and dolled up with your fucking tips, frosted tips, and then sneak around.
And you're in a
velour
jacket. Oh, this is really cool. Oh, that Bram Stoker Museum's actually pretty good. If it's still going, is it?
I don't know. Don't think so. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure. So there you go, a bit of trivia. Two classics of the 1920s and 30s, potentially lost forever.
Yeah, that we could, like, one of the very first movies I ever watched, I remember, was King Kong, like the old one with the sort of stop motion stuff like that. And it was terrifying as a kid. Like, and I can only imagine what it was like for an audience at the time watching that on the big screen, being like,
yeah,
fuck, does this ape exist?
It actually it's aged if you think that's not real, but
yeah,
it's actually incredible. I rewatched a clip of a deleted scene that was actually put together, like
the blooper reel where they all start laughing.
Yeah, King Kong's like, yeah, everyone laughs.
I'll do one for the blooper reel, a silly one.
Yeah. No, it was a scene where they fall into the pit of spiders, which wasn't in the original version because audiences were so just terrified of it.
Yeah.
But I watched it and it's fucked up. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it's spiders lifting up, like, and the humans' bodies are flailing and it looks real and there's being like devoured by the spiders. It's like from fucking 1933.
Like,
and it was terrified. But Peter Jackson actually had found the footage of that and then literally, like, frame by frame, put that together, edited that. And then that's what he copied then when he had those wetters.
Yeah,
those
eating the fucking heads off Andy Serkis.
But who is the better screen king?
In
This is a big one.
This is a huge one, like, yeah. And not because King Kong's massive. I think
Icon v Icon.
I think it's gonna be our old CD, Count Dracula.
See, I think.
Oh,
I don't. Well,
but you have to think about how many like they both have a lot of like spawns from each other or something. People that are influenced with like. Godzilla, yeah, and stuff like that. But Dracula has Anne Rice, all her novels, Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
But then you could argue that that's Bram Stoker's influence. It's like, it's not the movie.
Well, it's the offshoots of Dracula where it's like, you know, vampires, just vampires as a whole, and all the media that comes from vampires.
Twilight.
The idea of even just this kind of debonair, kind of attractive monster, but also a bit of a kind of sad story behind it because he's just trying to get back the kind of love that he lost.
He lost,
you know?
Yeah.
But then King Kong is fucking kaijus and big, massive destruction, and that's a fucking big thing.
I think there's
the
a
big blob from space, the big, massive thing from everything.
That's, I think it's a better story of Dracula. Like, there's a lot of subtle layers to it. No, don't get me wrong, there is subtle layers about like how. Humans can be more bestial than beasts sometimes and be more aggressive and stuff like that with the killing them when he just wants to have fun. The girls just want to have King Kong's just want to have fun. But like, I think there's a lot more play. How, like, have you seen the new BBC Dracula?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
I got very bored of the second episode.
Fucking exact same thing. The first episode I loved it. But the second episode I was just like, yeah, come on. And the last episode I was a bit like, where he's just like, I don't want to spoil.
He's very smug.
Yeah. He's a sexy man.
He's a very sexy man. Yeah.
I think just the Dracula story is. The movie is just better on a lot of levels.
Yeah. I'm sad to see Kong go.
Yeah.
But it's got to be Dracula.
Kong gone.
Kong gone. King gone.
King Kong gone.
Kong gone. Yeah. And Drac is back.
Oh, Dracula, dead and loving it.
He is. Fucking I love the jabs. Gross.
Yeah, he's like, oh, heaving bosoms.
Heaving bosoms. Okay, the next semi-scrap. Well, actually, technically, these are the quarters, but whatever, we'll get on to it. The Brundlefly versus the Gremlins.
I am in the corner of Brundlefly for this one.
Well, here, have a bit more trivia for your fucking tuppence.
Oh, lovely.
So those involved in the making of this film, including David Cronenberg, remember that the baboon, whose name was Typhoon, was very much a wild animal and not an actor. Visual effects supervisor Hoyt Yeatman said in a special features documentary that Typhoon the baboon was once startled by the flashing lights in the telepod and broke the door off, trying to get out. And the Wrangler and Jeff Goldblum, who is 6'4", were the ones who had to keep the primate in check. They're very volatile and there's no such thing as a tame baboon, Cronenberg said. But then he said, Jeff, because he was much bigger and stronger than the baboon, was able to dominate him. And the baboon's wrangler said it was a good thing that the baboon formed such a good friendship with Jeff. Otherwise, there could have been big trouble on the set, especially with some of the female members of the crew.
Can I just say that if you read that in a sort of sexy, sultry voice, it would have been like a real homoerotic story.
He's bigger, bolder, 6'4". Jeff was much bigger and stronger than the baboon, was able to dominate him.
Yeah.
I love the idea of young hot Jeff Goldblum holding the fucking baboon. Some fucking manners on.
It's like holding his face. But baboons are fucking terrifying. So yes. my girlfriend went to Kenya and she went to like safari and it was just like a big place in the middle of nowhere, like a hotel. And then the staff were like, oh, welcome to the hotel, whatever. Don't leave your windows open. If the baboons get in, they will try and rape you.
Jesus.
Yeah, and she's just like, okay.
Oh, my God.
Grand. But and then she said, like, when she woke up in the morning, she like opened the curtains, and on the balcony, there was like 4 or 5 baboons just there.
Jesus.
And they were like, they had fucking mad long fangs and stuff.
They were fucking wild.
Yeah. Like, they'll tear your face. Apparently, that's the first thing they go for, your genitals in your face.
Yeah.
Just like me.
Oh my God.
After a few Sambucas.
Oh my God, at the Scout Disco.
Scout Disco!
When you're a scout.
Oh, when I was a scout, yeah.
You're not a pedo. A bit of Gremlins trivia. There's a prequel show coming to HBO Max about the Gremlins.
A prequel?
Yeah, animated, based in 1920 Shanghai.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
I welcome... I welcome cultural inclusion in the things that I see. I saw the new Frozen movies based in China as well. I think, you know, Mulan, I think it's great.
New Frozen movies in China?
You know, no, the it's not Frozen, but, you know, like Moana, Frozen, and then the new one, which is
Shia, the Last Dragon, and the Last Dragon. Yeah. That actually looks really good. Yeah,
it does
look
good. It looks like it's kind of Cujo and the Two Strings.
Cujo and the Two Strings, such a fucking great movie. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, just watch it. It's a nice
stop motion. Unreal.
Stop motion, yeah. Have you seen the stop motion of the guy doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the big,
like,
massive fucking
snake thing.
Incredible, yeah. I do follow Kevin Perry as well, the stop motion guy who cuts fruit piece by piece.
Oh, Mrs. Anderson, Kevin and Perry.
No.
Oh.
Gremlins versus the Brundlefly. A lighter one. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the two. The last two were icon v icon. Mm. This is like, I mean, we can really only go for preference here.
They're both
derived from other things. They're not necessarily. Well, Gremlins arguably would have maybe kicked off a bit of a kind of horror comedy.
That's the thing.
Rascal,
I think
Looney
Gremlins
vibe.
Was one. Correct me if I'm wrong, or send a message to him if I'm wrong. But I think Gremlins was the first horror that was family orientated horror. I think it's just like it's not for the horror aficionado, like the slasher fans or stuff like that. It's for people who maybe you're 13, 14, you're trying
so
to get
it
into
invented
it.
The PG-13.
Did it actually?
Yeah.
Oh.
This exists because of...
So, the whatever the board is in America who certifies the movies saw this and were like...
This would have been a 12s, I'd say. Yeah. Well, probably 15s.
Yeah.
You know? It's mad the stuff that would have been 15s back then, which was like, oh, a bit edgy.
Oh.
Soft as shit now.
Isn't it something like in PG-13 you get one fuck?
Yeah.
And you can't be related to sex.
Do you know what's fucking mad? Well, I don't know.
You've used it. We can't use fucks.
Sorry. That's it done. I feel like we're more open and inclusive and that we can kind of get away with a lot more. And like TV can be a bit more shocking and stuff. But in terms of movies, like action movies, like a Fast and Furious is just so castrated in terms of like actual violence and sex compared to like action movies of yore. There's no... unnecessary. Even Demolition Man, which would seem like a kind of PG-13, has jabs in it, you know?
A lot of movies.
Where are the tits?
Yeah, a lot of movies these days are like, instead of shooting someone,
put a dick in it then.
Punch
it out.
Yeah. Dick, like punching and take his dick out.
Yeah.
You punch a man so hard his dick flies out.
His dick becomes a second heart. You'll have to restart me again.
It's all right. We get him loads of Viagra for the mission. We'll just pump his dick into his heart.
He's shot in the heart. It's fine.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. That, like, do you remember, like, and it's such a fucking throwaway scene in Demolition Man, if you haven't seen it, where someone video calls him and I guess the wrong number and she just has her jabs out.
Yeah,
and she's just like, oh, sorry, and then closes up.
I find that more innocent than, like, Transformers 3 was on and Rosie Huntington Wheatley is, like, the love interest of Shia LaBeouf in that. And, like, the way she shot is just so creepy. Like Megan Fox leaning over a car, and the fact that she had to do this weird
wash. She's like washing the car.
She had to wash Michael Bay's car to get the role for it. Like all this stuff, it just, seeing that seems like that's taking advantage far more than an unnecessary shower scene in Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. So that's Starship Troopers.
You know?
Or what about in the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Last Action Hero?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, and the daughter is just like kissing, and it's just a bit like, it's
yeah,
like, it's real. It's sort of on the outside of it. Sorry, I stopped words there.
That's
on the outside of it, it's real misogynistic and it's a bit all of that. But as you can look deeper, it is just surface level. Oh, look at this boob here. Whereas if you go into modern day ones, if you look, it's just like, oh, look at this person here. Don't you think that she, like, you could dominate her or something?
Yeah,
like,
it's
weird.
It's shot with the male gaze. It's shot like. It's shot to kind of to mess with, you know, like leaning over a fucking car or whatever, being all kind of, you know, look, it's fine. I'm not saying, you know, but I don't know. I think one has a different motive. Mm. One is just like quick fire flash tits, you know, and the other one is like, you know.
No, do you know what gets me? Sorry, just dawned on me there as you were talking. It's the veneer of them being powerful women. And like I can do whatever I want, but then it just cuts to the scene of them in Daisy Dukes cleaning a car.
Yeah,
it's just like, don't try and trick us on how shit you want to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're getting a bit deep into this anyway. So I'm saying the BFG, big Brundlefly.
You think the Brundlefly is better than Gremlins?
Oh, yeah. I think the body horror is... they both come from a place of, like, intense body horror, especially, do you remember when the fucking all the boils in your man's back, Spike's back and stuff? That was pretty gross. But I just think Brundlefly is a better story. I think it is. It's been...
The fucking ending, man.
Yeah.
With the fucking shotgun to the...
I think it's... You can make the fly again. And I think it could have the same sort of buzz about it. But I think Gremlins...
Pardon the pun.
Oh, I didn't make a pun.
You did, yeah.
Mom. Mommy. But the Gremlins, I think if you tried to make it again, it would be the same scenario with Ghostbusters where people are like...
I would say that if you were to do a sequel or a, you know, a reboot using the same techniques, I think Gremlins, you saw like Muppets can do another one. Gremlins could easily do it if you did the puppets again, and you could do bigger scale. You could get fucking Netflix to, you know, dole out that Netflix money and see a big kind of a shitload of Looney Tunes.
What would be the story of a modern Gremlins?
President Gremlin.
Mm. Oh my god. A big president who's just like is really like ignorant and just like rah, rah, rah. You cut open his skin and he's like 7 gremlins.
Oh,
in like a suit that they made.
Hey, maybe that bloody wagon Donald Trump is one of these
fake Donald
gremlins.
Trump.
And then Brundlefly, I mean, you could probably do it again. I mean, it just I rewatched the ending before we sat down here again. It looks so when his face is just fucking peeling away
and it's like a jaw falls off and you're just like, oh. It's
Jeff Goldblum.
The thing is, you could watch The Fly in 20 years' time and still be sort of freaked out about it. You could be getting closer to the transportation technology, so you could be getting even scared. Or
we haven't necessarily dictated what the weighted scoring on this. I mean, in terms of legacy, I think Gremlins have a stronger legacy.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of scare, the Brundlefly, hands down. In terms of the kind of story of the monster, I also think you want to give that to the Brundlefly.
Yeah.
But I do think if you scoop Gremlins out, and if Gremlins don't, I think that leaves a bigger cultural divot than removing the
fly. How many episodes of The Simpsons have a Gremlin in it? Oh, fuck, one. Treehouse of Horror. I just realized that. Yeah. Shit. Ruined my own argument there.
Why, how many have Brundlefly?
One. Where they got the teleportation machine and they get the fly, they turn into the fly. Uh-huh. Shit.
Okay.
This is. I knew this was going to be a tight one.
In the theater of screams, the Gremlins would win. In their plural, they
what
would easily?
He pukes acid.
He got killed with a shotgun.
Yeah. Did he have shotguns?
They could make one.
All right, you know what? I'll give it to the Gremlins.
No, I don't know if
No.
I don't know if I want to give it to the Gremlins. I might.
Are you arguing with yourself now?
I don't know. I don't know. But I can't. I don't know. I kind of want to give it. Don't kiss that. I want. The image of him putting the shotgun to his head and realizing that he's a monster, realizing that there's no going back. Well, there's no way he's going to die anyway.
Yeah.
He's, you know. I want to give it to the Brundlefly.
So it's Brundlefly for the win.
Great job.
Is that Kong or is that, sorry, that's Dracula versus Brundlefly?
Yes, in a couple of minutes. Yeah. We'll get onto that in a sec. Okay, that means... Don't know why I said it like that. The Brundlefly, you've beaten the Gremlins. You are through to the semis. Even though I thought this was the semis. But there you go. Jago. This is fucking beef v beef. We have got the fucking Terminator versus the Xenomorph.
80s legends.
Would you like a bit of trivia about either?
Yeah, do you know what? No, I won't. I don't actually. Not too, yeah. Hit me with this.
You'll like this one, Jago. As a runner, Robert Patrick trained in a rigorous running regimen when he was Terminator 2. While breathing only through his nose in order to be able to kind of appear to run at high speeds without showing any signs of fatigue. And he trained so hard that he was actually able to easily catch up with Edward Furlong's dirt bike that he had to actually slow down considerably.
That's fucking impressive.
Very impressive. Yeah. So how you see him running is significantly slower than...
That's even terrifying that a human could train himself to do something like that.
There you go. Now.
Catch up with Dirk Pike. Did you see the latest Terminator? Did you?
No, Dark Fate.
Yeah, Dark Fate. It's the start of it's pretty good. Where they the fucking the CG, because they CG'd Edward Furlong into it, and it's crazy good. Like, it's so good. Yeah. So I just watched behind the scenes, and it's just like a guy who's the same height as Edward Furlong. He's like, hey, because they're in a beach somewhere. I don't know where they are. And he just turns around. And he's like, hey. And then, so I'm not going to spoil
it. Is it worth watching?
It is, just to see the, like, the continuation story. I think it's
because it is the sequel to Judgment Day.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so basically, yeah, they skipped all the shite.
And James Cameron actually reclaimed the movie rights to it last year.
Do you think he's going to release a new one?
I don't know, but apparently this is the one that he gives the seal of approval.
Yeah, to. I think skip everything except for the first two and this one. So Terminator, Judgment Day, this one.
Okay, yeah.
So it's fucking good. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, it's not. I wouldn't say it's like one of my top 20 movies even, but like, it is a good sequel to it.
Cool. I'll watch it. And here's a little Xenomorph trivia. The alien scream, on the topic of bloody baboons, it's a baboon. Altered in post. Jago, what do you think?
So
the way I view this is coming from two different worlds.
Yeah.
The Terminator is just an unstoppable force. I love that it is a programmed killing machine because there is nothing that'll stand in its way, because there is no gray area.
Yeah.
It is just binary. Like, Sarah Connor has to die. Like, that's it. So that I will move through any kind of fucking circuitry of life to get to fucking Sarah Connor getting a fucking phoom. Meanwhile, the Xenomorph is just the perfect, like, shark
apex
millennia
predator.
Of the, like, this convergence of the fucking. No, I'm getting carried away here. It is just the apex predator.
Yeah.
It's the galactic apex predator who actually really doesn't want to kill, just wants to self-sustain, lays dormant for the opportunity, like an insect, to just live on.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not. It
looks horrid.
Yeah, it's motive, but like, it's say a fucking a wasp was the size of a human. You know, like, that would be terrifying.
Would be terrifying.
But the wasp doesn't want to stab you or sting you or anything like that.
No.
But it just wants to survive itself. It just wants to procreate, which is the what's it called? The fucking the selfish gene. The gene inside us wants to procreate all the time.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's just like, it's nature turned up dial up to 11.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good. Both of them against each other. I don't know. I'm leaning more towards Xenomorph. And I didn't think I'd right until this moment, I didn't think I'd say that. I feel like I'm on The Bachelor or something.
Yeah, you said that like that.
Sandra. But up until this moment, I didn't think I was going to say Sandra.
Up until this moment, I didn't think I was going to say Sandra. I would actually be leaning towards the Terminator.
Oh, really?
I think the Terminator is just...
The way you're saying it there, it sounds like Determinator.
Determinator, Determinator.
I am your new maths teacher, the Terminator.
I don't know, I feel like there's been other kind of things trying to be like Alien, trying to be like the Xenomorph. Mm. You know, Predator is one. You know, there are very...
yeah.
You know, there are loads of these kind of things that are kind of offshoots. I don't know, I can't really think of many. But that kind of like stealthy,
well, like Pandorum perfect. And stuff like that, where the aliens are running through the ship and the vents and stuff is very like running through the vents is very alien.
I mean, it invented the space horror.
Yeah, did you see that T-shirt that's on Wish?
No,
it's the funniest fucking thing ever. It's a really bad alien T-shirt, and it says Alan. In space, no one can hear you. In space, and
really
it's
like
so good. I really want to get it. Yeah,
I feel like the Terminator is the better movie monster.
Oh, that's a big thing. All right, drop him in the theater. Screams, who wins?
Terminator.
Terminator. He's very warm.
Very warm.
I don't know. Acid blood.
I get that, but like, you know, the Terminator is just. The Terminator is the perfect killing machine.
Yeah.
Because it will not stop and it just wants to kill. It will literally crawl on its hands and knees just to kill. The alien just wants to get out.
But they didn't.
He doesn't want to be in the spaceship.
Yeah.
He just wants to get out.
So do you think if you drop him in the alien?
He just wants to get out of the theater screams. Yeah.
and that he'd probably see that the Terminator isn't a warm-blooded creature, and he couldn't lay an egg in him or give him a fucking chest burster and stuff like that. So,
I tell you what, this though, in terms of movie monsters, I probably prefer the Xenomorph.
Who would you want to fight? Which one of those two would you want to fight?
I think it'd be a nice, a nice death from the Terminator. I wouldn't want to be killed by the Xenomorph. I wouldn't want to go through the whole rigmarole of being mined and hived by it.
Yeah, do you know what? I'll go Terminator as well. Just the way I like. Yeah, he would win.
He would win.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
And I do not want to see the Xenomorph out of this competition. Yeah. I would actually have the Xenomorph over most things.
Can we put the Xenomorph as like Miss Congeniality or something?
Absolutely, yeah. We can. Congratulations, T-800. You are through to now the semi-finals, the quarterfinal was
played. I'll be back again.
You will, yeah, in just a second. Okay, last one of this round. The Thing versus Bruce the Shark.
We're not even.
It's the Thing.
It's the Thing. Yeah.
Okay. Great. great job, Bruce.
Like he's a great monster. Like I can't fault him a bit, but he's not
sexy enough.
He's not sexy enough.
Okay. Okay. Mark Jago, we're now in the semi-final. Are you ready? Do you want to take a piss? Are you happy?
Do you want to take a piss?
No.
Okay. I would just.
Jago, we now have. No, we have with King Kong Gong.
Yeah,
we have King Dracula. Let's call him King Dracula now that he's beaten the Kong. Yeah. Versus Zebrundlefly. Now you see.
Why are you looking? What's the smug look for?
The nature of this tournament is, I think if it was King Kong versus the Brundlefly, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And now it's.
Do you know now? Who would you think?
Do you know now? Are your eyes open now? I think it's fucking Dracula.
Listen, we're probably going to fly through the semifinals. But I think Dracula, we've said it numerous times. Well, the story is good.
The story's good.
The scariness is good.
Mm-hmm.
They
have a lot of similarities.
Yeah, man becomes monster, mm-hmm. unrequited love, a bit of backstory. But if you feel a bit of sympathy for them, then you realize what they've actually become.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost all humanity along the way.
Beautiful. Beautifully said.
Thanks. Sorry, I burped midway through. It would be a lot more beautiful if it.
I cannot edit this. But, and I, to be honest, when I started this, I probably didn't want... If this was Dracula versus a Xenomorph, I don't know what I'd say.
Hmm.
I don't know what I'd say.
I thought, to be honest, Dracula would have been not... gone at the wayside like pretty quickly, but I just thought he would have been knocked out by something or something.
So I never would have predicted Dracula would have made it to the end. I had a couple of people who
he should have, like, because if you go on the street and you said, oh, name a monster, they're gonna say, oh, I play in Frankenstein.
what did you say?
I play in Frankenstein, a little vampire sucking your blood. But I think it's gotta be Dracula, Like, the Butterfly, unreal story. Check it out. If you haven't seen it, watch it, baby.
It's a great flick. Okay, congratulations, Count Dracula. You've made it through to the final of the Silver Scream Screen Queens. That just shows what legacy gets you.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see a plethora of Brundlefly-related content, and in 100 years, because Dracula is fucking almost 100 years old.
Yeah.
From like the film alone,
that's like the Butterfly was originally from like a novella and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think in 100 years' time, like maybe teleportation will exist, and they're all like, "Oh, why didn't you just use a DNA sequencer to try and?" It's not scary anymore. Yeah. It's just because it's based in science. There's a chance that the science is corrected in the future. Mm-hmm. That's the only issue I have with it. Whereas Dracula, he was cursed by God for not he renounced God and became whatever history you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Dracula, congratulations. Okay, now, here we go. The Terminator versus The Thing.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Now, just would a Xenomorph versus The Thing be a juicier competition?
I think so, because the xenomorph could be infected by the thing. That's the thing.
That's true. That's true. That's very interesting.
But it's not just about them fighting in the theater screams. It's just about the impact they've had. Like, I watched the Terminator when I was younger, and I was like, okay, big scary robot, that's grand or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, there's a thing called Singularity where AI becomes too intelligent and they realize that humans are a problem and they'll turn on themselves. But when I watched The Thing for the first time, I was terrified about other humans because I just thought they were infected and stuff like that. I think Thing is more culturally prevalent. I think it came out and it was shit as a movie. Mm-hmm. Everyone hated it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more... like, it's infected.
It's a better flick than The Terminator.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know what as well? Sorry. I kind of think we need to retcon this and have it be the alien. And the reason I say that is the alien has always been the movie monster. The Terminator is perfect in The Terminator, where he is a movie monster. But after that, he's an ally. He's LGBTQI. He's an ally. He's not a movie monster then.
Yeah. So, and also in the new one, it turns out he can
learn. Don't tell me. Okay. I didn't hear what you said. Luckily.
But he's in The Terminator, he's a movie monster. But in the second one,
in Judgment Day, he's not. Yeah. And everything else that happened after that, he's not. He kind of is, but he's not. Alien's a way better fucking movie monster.
We're terrible at this.
I know. Aliens through.
Aliens. Go back. To your...
Edit this. Alien is through. Alien versus The Thing. What are you thinking? Because, I'll be honest, Jacob, Alien versus The Thing were the two that I... Flip of a coin, whether...
Sonia's crying there.
I'm crying. I'm getting emotional talking about this. It was a flip of a coin which would be the winner for me, to be perfectly honest. When I looked at the 32 without putting them into the randomly generated tournament that we have them in here, it was like... Those two are my favorite, hands down. Is a xenomorph, and
it is a more interesting battle having the xenomorph from the thing from The Thing. See, as you said before, the nature of Alien or the xenomorph is it has an agenda. It just wants to survive. It just wants to procreate. It wants to become more and more. It's just like a fly or a larva.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas The Thing is the same as well. They're both nature creatures. Like, The Thing, even though it's disgusting, their method of procreating and creating new creatures, it's sort of similar.
Like, there's a lot of similar overlap there. Yeah. It's almost like blind nature, you know?
Yeah.
It's. But having said that,
Who would you rather die by?
I'd rather die by The Thing so that I could kill someone else.
Yeah, but you don't know if your brain is still...
I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want to kill and get away with it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You
can do that in some countries, I heard. Just pay an extra...
Hostel.
The hostel.
I prefer The Thing. I think it's a much scarier concept. Is The Thing.
The thing with The Thing is that it is like in Alien, you're facing the alien, you're like, that's the alien. All right, that's the alien there. But The Thing, like, your best mate could be alien. The guy who's had your back the whole movie could just be like, oh, I don't feel too well, and then fucking eat you.
That is my favorite thing about The Thing.
The scariest thing in the whole world is the unknown and blood tests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
I hate blood tests.
I don't mind them. I just don't like seeing all of it go out of the pipe. Look, I think we both want The Thing to win this one. My condolences to The Terminator. And the xenomorph.
Fucking...
Whatever!
James Cameron's going to be crying now.
Well, he made it pretty far.
Yeah, that's true.
But unfortunately, John Carpenter and whoever you ran fucking made Dracula. Francis Ford. Okay, here we are in the final. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you steady?
Yes.
in the final here of the Silver Screen
Queens,
we have Count Dracula versus the Thing. Now, here what we have is a kind of an underdog in the Thing, but probably the sexiest concept, which is you don't know who the monster is. Mm. The monster could be anyone, and what the monster does could be anything. But it's kind of like body horror ambiguous. That's what's so amazing about it. It could grow 20 tentacles. It could get fucking 16 foot tall. You don't know.
Become a little head and run around the room.
Mm. Versus Dracula, which is the devil you know. The iconic devil you know. The kind of the captivating sensual stranger.
The children of the night. Such sweet music they make.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is kind of like you gotta bow down to the Drac. But I fucking think The King's great. I think it's a fucking my favourite horror film of all time.
I'm just telling you now, if you drop the theatre screams, The Thing, like a guy in the who is The Thing, like Dracula has no... A lot of Dracula's sort of attraction or is his attitude, his debonair sort of suaveness. And don't get me wrong, he's a bloodthirsty monster and he'll rip you apart in shreds and eat your blood and fucking turn
into... I'd love to... have sex with him when he's the wolf on the bench.
Oh, yeah. He's like...
Yeah.
But I think The Thing is just... It's pure mindlessness and it's the fact that it can be anyone. Mm. You know, if you drop a vampire into the middle of... There's a lot of similarities. Like, blood is the transference and stuff like that. And, Dracula can become...
Yeah, you can sire others.
Sire vampires and stuff like that. There's a lot of...
In The Thing, are there multiple things, or is one person always the thing?
No, there's multiple things.
Okay.
So, like, I think if they absorb part of it and they can become it and stuff like that. I think at one point there's a big creature that's like the dog and man as well. But, yeah, it's just, like, there's a lot of similarities. And I do like the whole human side of it. But I think the human side of it does make us feel sympathy for it, which takes it out of the realm of movie monsters, proper movie monsters. Like, he could tell you a story and you're like, okay, get grand, I understand where he's coming from. There is a motivation behind his actions. Mm-hmm. Whereas The Thing is like, this is what it is. There's no, it doesn't do anything. It just fucking turns you into a little head with spider legs and then cuts off your man's arms.
Can you
dig it? Sucker!
Can you, though, as much as we love it, as much as we love the concept, is that better than the legacy of Dracula? Is that better? Is the concept that it could be anyone you know, the body horror aspect of it, just the unbelievable, it's almost like fucking 12 angry men, but one of them's the thing. The Thing is a perfect film.
Mm. Perfect Predator.
But I think The Thing is better than any Dracula film that's ever been made, including Dracula Dead and Loving It with the jabs. But the legacy of Dracula, how can that not win?
See, that's the... I'm weighing up all the things about it. Like, the legacy is its heaviest thing, you know? It's the heaviest thing it has against The Thing. But I just think that movie is perfect. A horror movie. Like, if you grabbed someone off the street and you show them, like, a Dracula movie, like, say, Dracula with fucking Keanu Reeves in it, and then you show them The Thing, I guarantee that they would be left with more terrifying fears of going to the Antarctic or talking to a Norwegian man.
Fair.
Yeah. I just think that The Thing, if you it's Halloween, you have a nice warm Krabby's original alcoholic ginger beer that's been 6 weeks steeped, and you want to sit down, you have your jack-o'-lanterns all around carved from turnips,
you got your full Mars bars and full Twixes,
full crunchies,
blackjacks.
You sit down, not too many though. You watch a movie. You put Thing on.
Yeah.
You don't get up once to make a cup of tea.
That's true.
You put on Dracula. When that fucking little train moves around, you're like, oh, I'll just pop in and make it.
Well, hang on. Because if you're talking about, which we shouldn't necessarily be doing because it's definitely not the best Dracula, is Bram Stoker's Dracula. Hmm. But did you know all of that? Every single part of Bram Stoker's Dracula's practical effects.
Was shot, yeah, practical, yeah. I think I told you that.
No, I told you that.
Bullshit.
Anyway, listen, the point I'm getting at here I don't know what I'm saying. I just wanted to get off. Maybe I gave you the useless old trivia.
That's such a Tony tactic. Like, listen, we'll talk about something else here.
Enough about this. Can we
kiss finally on air?
What's your favorite album? Side question.
Oh, Good Morning by Alkaline Trio.
Okay. Do you think Good Morning is better than the Beatles?
Like, subjectively, yes.
Yeah.
Objectively, no, because sales and such.
That's kind of, I feel like, what we're looking at here is like your favorite album versus the inventor of horror.
Of albums. Your favorite album.
Versus the dog who listens to the HMV record.
Oh, Marconi and Co.
No.
Oh.
I want to give it to the thing, so I'm going to give it to the thing.
Yay!
What do you think? Yeah?
Yeah, I think the thing has it.
Okay, hang on, here we go! Could the thing please enter the throne room for your commemoration medal? Okay, so the thing arrives. It's a big open throne room. He walks down the middle. He looks to the side. He sees the Brundlefly waving with his blown off head. He sees King Kong on the left hand side throwing barrels at everyone else. The gremlins are giving everyone nuggies. The rancors. You have Medusa there in the back sucking some lad off. You have the creature from the Black Lagoon dumping itself in a bit of water.
And the Bruce Shack's like, oh, good job, mate.
Yeah, he speaks. He's from New Zealand. You have the Babadook, who was only there for a second. I don't know what he looks like. He's over there as well. You have the T-Rex up at the back. He's trying to applaud with his little hands, but he can't. He's just like...
He's crying.
He's crying.
Pumping.
You have Pinhead and all of his little... What are they called?
The Cenobites.
Cenobites there, like in their lovely little dress.
A Predator. You can't see him.
No.
He's invisible.
But
he's in the girls at... ladies room.
And he's consoling the Xenomorph, who the Terminator has his hand on his back, saying, tough competition, mate, but look who it is. It's the main man. And Dracula bends the knee, holds his medal, placing it on the big long head, the ever-growing head of the thing.
Above. He puts it on, and the medal is just a picture of me and you.
Yay! Or something
like that. So anyway, the thing. I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. I think the thing or the Xenomorph were definitely my two favourites in the competition, and I think I made that very clear.
Very clear from the beginning. I think the first sentence out of your mouth was, I hope the thing wins.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you listen to this and you haven't watched the thing, you know what to do.
I think the takeaways from this, the chicken balls from this, would be watch the thing, rewatch The Fly. Mm. I haven't seen Creature from the Black Lagoon, but I watched half of it.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
You don't need to see the Creature Black Lagoon, just watch The Shape of Water. It's basically the exact same story.
And a better film.
Yeah.
Gremlins is class, let's not forget that. And the original King Kong still holds up.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible film. It's almost 100 years old, and it's very exciting.
People we're talking to, obviously, are going to love horror movies. There's sort of like, I think that's our target audience, or people who listen to us anyway.
And I think a lot of these have been light on the horror as well. I think we've been quite inclusive to not be like, you know, fucking Jigsaw or...
Yeah. Hostel, as you said earlier.
Hostel, like, yeah, I mean, shite. Yeah.
Or Cabin Fever, which is a great movie.
It's a great film, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't really fucking...
Well, that's actually listed as the Merman from that is like listed as some of the best movie monsters for his crazy scene.
Oh, yeah, just for like the whole 10 seconds he's there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Cabin in the Woods, that's what you were
Cabin
on.
In the
yeah,
Woods.
Yeah. I was on Cabin Fever when your one shaves her legs and her whole leg comes off.
Yeah.
That's Eli Roth for me. Anyway, so to finish up, I know this has been a long L trek, and I know you just want to go out and dance on the street with the thing.
Yeah.
And be like, it's the thing one. But we're going to have a little spook off.
What about a freak encounters? Chica-caca. No matter what they do, chica-caca. Freak encounters. Oh, brilliant. So I've got a juicy little freak encounter here from a lovely man called Kevin Mellett. Here we go. This is a long one, but bear with me. I might have to loop the old scary music box tune. Jago, you ready?
Hit me.
Here we go.
Tired of
oh, my God. No.
What was
that? That happened last time. So this all happened back when I was 15 or 16 in fourth year. Me and my mate David wanted to go and stay over at our friend's gaff, two gorgeous lady twins who lived out in Blessington right beside Poolafuka Lake. We lied to our parents and told them that the twins' parents would be there, but the plan was for it just to be the four of us, smoking menthols and a bit of underage drinking. Where they live is quite unique. It's on a golf course on the grounds of a haunted hotel. The twins told us that in the 60s, the hotel had to have an exorcism done on the property due to guests complaining about unexpected noises and screams coming from the halls late at night. They say the whole area has bad juju because there had been an unusually large amount of drownings in the reservoir due to the speed which the water level rises. As we were making our way out there on the bus, the twins decided to inform us that the house was haunted and everyone in the family of eight had seen some kind of spiritual experience growing up in the house. Growing up with ghosts, apart from the twins who were the youngest in the family. Now, I'm a massive skeptic, so at the time this worried me very little, but I could see a noticeable difference in David's demeanor. Now, here we get into the juicy stuff. We got to the house and threw on a movie in the sitting room. Halfway through the flick, the twins' elderly dog, that had barely lifted its nose at us since we entered, began to violently bark at the door of the empty room. The dog couldn't be calmed, even after checking inside the room. It was almost as if it could sense something malevolent. This again made David quite uneasy. It was now very dark outside, so we all stayed in the sitting room to finish the movie, and I offered to run to the kitchen to dish up some lasagna for us all. Gonna play the music again. Lasagna for us all. I went into the kitchen and began to plate up. As I was plating up, I heard and felt something come into the room. Without looking, I shouted. If they wanted to give me a hand. No response. I waited a few seconds and asked again. No response. I turned around and I saw a gaunt lady in a long black dress, almost bluish white skin, standing at the far end of the room looking directly at me. As I looked at her, she grinned slightly and leapt through the door beside her. Seriously freaked out, I brought the food back to the gang and told them what I saw. The twins barely flinched, just responded, "We told you. We told you." I was now feeling quite uneasy, and clearly so was David. Both of us wanted to leave, but not wanted to be the chicken that suggested it. So we said nothing. Bedtime came and we went to the twins' room and we had two bunk beds, me and David and one of the twins in the other. An hour or so passed and I was struggling to sleep. Everyone else was out cold, or so I thought. I was on the top bunk, a good 6 or 7 feet off the ground, and I began to hear a very light knocking coming from what sounded like inside the wall at my feet. As I noticed it, it began to get louder and louder and travel up the wall towards my head. Once at my head, the banging became violent, unbelievably loud. I could also hear someone in the wall crying and screaming. Aah! I was shocked. The whole room wasn't awake. I was freaked. I jumped down from the top bunk and I see one of the twins sitting upright in her bed, expressionless and white in the face. I looked at her and she looked back at me and said, "Did you hear that?" And I nodded. We both got out of the bed to check if anyone else had come home, but the driveway was empty. The opposite side of the wall where the banging was coming from faces out towards the reservoir. This scared me and one of the twins enough that we stayed up the rest of the night on her sofa, not getting a wink of sleep. I bet you didn't, you fucking cheeky boogie. I still remain very skeptical about this sort of thing. I usually put it down to sleep paralysis. However, this night stuck with me, and when I think about it, I can see the lady's grin as clear as ever.
Perfect timing, by the way, Tony, at the end.
So, Jacob, what do you think of that scary story?
Scary. As I said before, I don't think energy dies, so when a human dies, their spirit sort of resides in the area they died. And if it's, as you said, in the reservoir, a lot of people died, I think, just
leaving a few potholes into the realm of the unknown.
Exactly, yeah.
Jago, do you have any movie-based words of wisdom to play out this mini-series and possibly the last ever episode of Sexy Beasts? Probably not.
Probably not. I...
Well, you don't.
Have,
no, you don't.
I don't have one ready. But I'll give you a quote from The Thing.
Great.
I don't know what the hell's in there, but it's weird and pissed off. Whatever. That was a shite ending, wasn't it?
No, it was good. Thanks for listening. Happy Halloween.
Kiss your best friend on the mouth.
Oops, there's a Wendigo. Hey, coming after me.
Allow
it. Just like fuck said, you could laugh at me, smack with me. With a big foot dick, you could slap with me, blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a big foot dick and a Loch Ness monster pussy. Sexy Beast.
This has been a Head Stuff Podcast Network.
I got that. Was it?
You said it right.
Oh, unreal.